You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Everybody at home and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is the foul-mouthed, yet smart and intelligent, Charlene Schmidt.
Hello, and yeah, that's right.
Now, at first I was excited about this episode, and then I started thinking about what on earth am I going to do for this episode, and then I got less excited, but then we started racing towards the clock and the adrenaline started pumping in, and then I started getting excited again. And what we're doing this week is an episode rewrite, which we haven't done for a while, and that's on the very forgettable episode, Unforgettable.
Yes, completely inappropriately titled.
This is episode 422. It aired on April 22nd, 1998, which seems like so long ago.
But it wasn't.
And this is an actual Chakotay episode. And not many of those happened.
No.
And this is co-starring Virginia Madsen, which people in the geek community normally like her because she's scattered all throughout the geek community. And it's directed by Andrew Robinson, a.k.a. Garrick from Deep Space Nine.
Yes. Major plus right there.
A trinity of good things, as it were.
Yeah.
And because I love Chakotay, don't always love Chakotay episodes, though. I love Virginia Madsen and I love Andrew Robinson. And for those of you who don't know, this episode is about an alien, Virginia Madsen. Yeah, it's about an alien who is requesting asylum on Voyager, and she claims to know Chakotay, and she's being attacked by her people. Janeway grants asylum, and Virginia Madsen's like, hey, I've been here before, and I totally love Chakotay.
Yes.
And Chakotay and them are like, we don't understand that. We don't remember it. And she's like, that's totally because of my pheromones. They're like, oh my God. So with all that in mind, she has to convince Chakotay to fall in love with her again.
And she does.
And she does successfully because Virginia Madsen is beautiful.
And those pheromones.
And so is Chakotay. And so they restart their romance. But the thing is that one of her species tracks her down, captures her, erases her memory to take her back to her species because they have a very xenophobic species. And Chakotay says, okay, I'll just make you fall in love with me again like you made me fall in love with you again. But it doesn't work. End of episode.
Yeah, I like that very abrupt ending. The end. Oh,
the
Chakotay
end.
Writes in a journal so he doesn't forget the end.
I did like that. I did like that he wrote down on a piece of paper because that's the only thing that a computer virus can't touch is paper,
yes.
Something in the physical realm. And you don't see that too often in Star Trek. Like, the only other time I can think of is in the holodeck.
Yeah, like Scorpion Part 2, where Janeway is essentially doing the same thing. She wants humanity, and therefore she resorts to a pen and paper to do her log entry.
Exactly. And I like how, you know, they say that it feels human and paper feels human. And I feel like, you know, if Star Trek was real, and let's face it, it is.
It is, yes.
They would look back on this time, the time we're living in right now, as the transition period between paper and all electronics. I feel like this is the crux of history for that.
Yeah, I agree. What did Janeway call it in Futures End? Turn of the millennium technology.
There you go.
We are in that transition. We are going gradually more and more paperless, I think, in our society at large.
What with the iPads and the Kindles and the ebook readers and the chocolate pudding. Yeah, it's I kind of slipped into Bill Cosby. I have no idea why. But
J-E-L-L-O.
I don't know. That was sadly my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah.
was the use of paper.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the highlights. That was something I liked, too. And it's interesting that you mentioned that you know, in the course of preparing for this episode, you were excited about the idea when we decided on it last week. And then I did kind of the same thing that you did. As I prepared for this, I watched the episode. I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I just thought and thought and thought. And the gears are grinding. They're not moving very fast at all. And I just thought, oh man, this is a really tough one. Finally got sort of an idea going, as we'll find out later on when we discuss our rewrite ideas. And now, okay, yeah, I'm cool with this. I mean, the thing about this episode, in my opinion, is that it's not horrible at all. It's actually a fairly decent episode. It's just, it's not that good of an episode. I mean, all the pieces are there, and I can't figure out why it's so forgettable.
Yeah, I see, I can't put my finger on it either, and maybe we're wrong here. Maybe this is a beloved episode by the fans. I mean, I haven't really heard anyone talk about it. And this is what I'm reading this off of Memory Alpha, and it says, Robert Beltran cited this episode as his favorite of Star Trek Voyager's entire run.
What?
Clarifying his reasoning as being that the installment has very little technobabble and a concentrated focus on the characters of Chakotay and Kellen. Beltran also said, I did enjoy that episode very much. Another element of the episode that he enjoyed was working with Kellen's actress, Virginia Madsen. She's terrific, and I've always wanted to work with her, Beltran commented. So Robert Beltran likes it, but most actors, Star Trek actors who have an episode focused on them, say that it's their favorite episode.
Yeah, I think that's just it. Like, they gave him something to do, and he got to kiss a beautiful actress. Of course this is his favorite episode.
And the thing is, though, is that, as you and I talked about on the other side of the room, that all the pieces are there. The acting is great. Mm-hmm. The characters are great. The writing's pretty good. It just didn't click. All those great pieces did not piece together to make a better whole.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't grab me, for lack of a better way of putting it. I just don't know why this one doesn't work for me, and so... If people out there are listening and yelling at us, completely irate, please go to the forums, trek.fm/forums, and tell us why we're wrong. Please help us see the light on this, because maybe we are completely on a different end of the spectrum than somebody else, and they get this episode, whereas I don't think we really do.
I think I'd love to hear that, and we love differing opinions on To the Journey.
We do.
And maybe, you know what, I just thought of this, maybe the reason why it's not clicking with us is because there's a severe lack of B'Elanna Torres in this episode.
That would certainly explain it for you, and I love B'Elanna too, but not quite as much and in the same way as you. I don't know if that's the answer for me, but let's go with it. That's as good of an explanation as any. Let's go with that. There's not enough B'Elanna. So I have to ask then, in your rewrite, is there more B'Elanna?
There's always more B'Elanna in my rewrites, and you'll have to wait to find out.
Okay, fair enough.
I'd love to hear... Let's just go ahead. Enough intro.
Okay.
I'd love to hear what you would do to make this episode better. Now, you can either change it completely, do a complete rewrite, or you can move things around. This podcast is your canvas.
Yes, this is true. When it comes to our rewrites, we kind of go across the board. There's really not a whole lot of rules. We can change it entirely or very little at all. And I think I erred more on the side of keeping things fairly close to how we saw them. I'm just turning the tables a little bit to what I hope would invoke a little bit of emotion. And here's ultimately what I would do. Instead of telling us that, oh, Chakotay and Kellen, yeah, they were in love, blah, 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 I would actually have Chakotay fall in love with Kellen. Like, she comes aboard the ship. She's just kind of from what we know in the intro, in my rewrite, we know that she's kind of like a little scavenger / wanderer, sort of like Neelix was in his early days before he came aboard the ship. And she's there to just kind of be friendly and take a little bit of R&R, and maybe they're fixing her ship or something, la, 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 la. And all of a sudden, Chakotay is just drawn to this lady. And he can't really figure out why, because he's just madly falling in love with her. It's like, do we know each other from somewhere? I mean, have we met before? I just feel so connected to you. And, like, he feels almost crazy wondering why she seems so familiar. But then it gets a little interesting, because he starts finding weird clues that something more is going on, like maybe she's using him for a purpose simply beyond good company. And so some trust issues come into place. I think the moral of my story is going to be that love is blind. Just to throw that out there right now. Meanwhile, Chakotay is madly falling in love with Kellen, and she's falling for him, and it just seems like they're going to get married and have babies tomorrow. Of course, you know, the fanfic writer in me has to have an awesome exchange between Janeway and Chakotay about this. And so,
totally want to see that.
I think this is something that needed to happen, and I think this could be a brilliant moment, so hear me out on this. I think Janeway needs to talk to Chakotay about how quickly he's falling for this woman and expresses a little bit concern as a friend, as a concerned friend.
Not the, what am I supposed to do, Chakotay?
So what'll it be, Chakotay? Indulge my feelings, hold fast to protocol. What?
You have plenty of time to think about it.
Exactly. Not quite that. No, more like, Chakotay, what the F are you doing? Anyway, so, I mean, he hasn't always had the best luck of or timing with the ladies. Let's put it that way. You know, think Seska. The whole thing with Janeway at this point is kind of fizzled out. Like, it's really neither here nor there. And then there was that lady in season three, Riley Frazier, blah, blah, blah. He's not exactly done well for himself in the romance department. And she acknowledges this, brings it to his attention, and says that this could just be the latest and hardest stumble yet for you. Please be a little more careful. I feel like you're being reckless. And, of course, he's going to come back with, what, you jealous? And let's just say that her reaction is going to be beyond 1,000 words. Because I know Kate Mulgrew can pull off a face.
Mm-hmm.
So this, combined with his own doubts, though, after this conversation, makes Chakotay kind of question what really is happening. Like, well, maybe I am getting a little too into this, a little too fast. He starts to investigate, and when he continues, like, okay, whether he continues visibly falling in love with her or whether it's just an act at this point is going to be a mystery to keep us intrigued. We're never really going to know. And meanwhile, while he conducts the investigation, turns out, yes, she is using Chakotay and Voyager as a hiding place from her people because they're a closed culture and they shun outsiders. Maybe they've been burned before, and so they're keeping to themselves, and that's why they use cloaked ships to explore their space. You know, we could keep that element in that way. And people like Kellen are rare, but she wanted to experience something outside of her norm, sort of like Kes did with the Ocampa. She's one of the few and the proud and the brave and blah, blah, blah. So she was caught the first time, just like everyone, and they got brainwashed. But her brainwashing was sort of botched. And so she, sort of like Chakotay, has something in her mind that's imprinted about Voyager. She doesn't really know why, but she is drawn. And so she finds a way to escape again and finds Voyager and goes there just out of pure instinct. She just knows she needs to be there. And then we see them fall in love, as we did earlier in the episode, and blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, she does get caught again. And the only reason why she does go back is because she makes a deal with the tracers who catch her that she will willingly go back and not try to escape again as long as they do not wipe her memory so that she can remember her short-lived travels. This is where I feel like my story is a little weak because I don't really think she would actually do this and it's a little too soft. But this is kind of where I fell off the map and I wasn't sure how to make it better.
I definitely like your Chakotay and Janeway interaction. I'm going to steal that.
Okay, do that.
Because I totally want to see that. I would love, because I feel like we've seen Chakotay and Janeway interact whenever Janeway had a proximity flirtation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never really been that serious. Like, well, I mean, we saw him talk about Michael Sullivan, but very off the cuff, kind of like, you know what, you didn't have to be embarrassed, it's cool, you know, whatever. And then, but we see a much cooler reaction with Q when he says, he's like, I don't deserve to be jealous, but why am I bothered by this? And then then Janeway's just like, I'm going to touch you, this is okay. And,
now remember, though, this is season three where Q happens, and then season six is Michael Sullivan, and this Unforgettable is in between.
Right, and so this would be prime real estate for to give the conversation that you're talking about. And so that's what I want to see, and I know we get made fun of so much by our fellow Trek FM friends and also people online, because we talk about Janeway and Chakotay so much. But you know what? I don't care, and neither does Char. And so no. You're going to hear it until the end of time.
Yeah, deal with it.
But yeah, this I think that's the coolest thing, and I like the lying at the beginning. I think that's pretty cool about, like, oh, I'm just a scavenger. I'm here for this reason and whatever. I like that. I think the ending is a little bit, you gotta declare motivations a little bit more, and that was kind of where I was faltering with mine, and so I can't really help you in that department.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have any idea of what else would be going on? Like, would anybody else help him along the way? What did you think about that Neelix and Chakotay interaction throughout?
Yes, thank you so much for bringing this up, because the other thing I liked besides the pen and paper in what we saw that aired is the Neelix moments. Neelix is wonderful in this episode.
Yes.
He is downright helpful. He gives good advice. He's a good listener. He's being considerate and compassionate. And this is the Neelix that I love. This is the way Neelix should have been the whole time. And so I love those moments, and I would definitely keep them for sure.
Well, to his credit, he is like this more often than not, but the goofy side does overshadow this kind of side. And I loved that quote of his at the end.
Commander, I don't think you can analyze love. It's the greatest mystery of all. No one knows why it happens or doesn't. Love is a chance combination of elements. Any one thing might be enough to keep it from igniting. A mood, a glance, a remark. And if we could define love, predict it, it would probably lose its power.
Boom, roasted. How true is that?
That's very true. Now, who wrote this? I can't remember. This was written by Greg Elliott and Michael Perricone, and I know I'm pronouncing that wrong, and I'm sure the Italians out there are angry at me. But so, yeah, that was one of my favorite interactions, too, because if you look at season one and season two of Chakotay and Neelix, Chakotay just cannot stand Neelix. He sees him as a burden.
Right.
He's just a mild irritation. He's like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go on the away mission with Neelix. It's cool, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything else to do today.
I have no choice, so come on.
Yeah, and so, but I like this. I like this arc, and I would have liked to have explored that relationship a bit more, where we see Chakotay and Neelix interact, where we see the serious side of Neelix. Like, let's keep the funny and goofy side of Neelix with Paris.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep that there, but let's see the serious side with Chakotay. I would have liked to have seen that explored more.
That would have been beautiful.
And in fact, there we go. I found a new ending for my rewrite.
Okay. Speaking of which, what would you do?
See, okay, with mine, it's so loose. Most of my rewrites are so loose. Like, it's just kind of like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and maybe something like this. With this one, it was so hard because, like I said, all of the elements are here. All of these great elements are here, and I love them so much. And I feel like you, I did not like the flashbacks. That was a wrong idea, wrong choice. I would not do the flashbacks. I would do a much more linear structure where we see the beginning, where I don't want to see her chasing somebody else. I know it's a common theme in fiction and in movies and TVs where it's, oh, the CIA agent is chased by another CIA agent because they turned, or like the reason why this is a battle is because this guy trained the other guy, and so now the student will become the master. You know, like, I realize that that's very common, but I would have liked to have seen her as a pure runaway. I would have liked to have seen her. It's not so much she wants to escape her society. I wanted to add some ambiguity to it where she did commit a crime, not just what we would consider, like, oh, well, she just wanted to leave. That's no crime. We're humans, and, you know, we can do that all the time. I want it to be a crime of passion, a crime of self-defense that could have been interpreted in a different way, where the asylum is like Janeway in the sickbay was just like, oh yeah, sure, we'll give you asylum. I want it to be a little bit more of a discussion. Now, not make the entire episode about it, not like Quinn, you know, like not make the whole episode about asylum or anything like that, but just have a little bit like, oh, well, I was trying to escape and I killed a guard, or I was trying, like, I escaped because I was fleeing, you know, prosecution because I broke the law, or I stole this, or I wanted people to know this, or like maybe, you know, like in this day and age where it's a freedom of information kind of thing, where she's like, people need to know about this.
Ooh, you know what? If Voyager were being produced today, a Snowden story would be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking along the lines, like, oh, well, I mean, we kind of believe in what you're doing, but you did break the law.
Right.
And, you know, we're not here to judge which law is just and unjust. And so make that a little bit more intricate into it, and keep the memory loss and the virus just a little bit. I don't know how to tone it down, but don't make it the focus where it goes is like, if I do leave, if I have to leave you guys, I will have to erase all of the contents of why I was here. Like, I'll have to erase all trace of why I was here. Okay, on second thought, like, maybe get rid of the forgetfulness that's embedded in their pheromones, but just do the tracer, like the virus thing. Let's keep the virus thing. And they debate, and they grant asylum, and Chakotay and her fall in love, and it's the first time. Like, this is the actual first time that they're falling in love.
Okay.
But how they meet is she's the one hiding on Voyager. That they discover her hiding on Voyager, not her chasing somebody else.
Okay.
But it's her hiding on Voyager using the cloaking technology. We do something innocent, even though she's technologically advanced. The reason why they find her is because she was stealing food.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, Neelix is just like, it's like, he thinks he's like, there is a midnight snacker. Once again, there is a midnight snacker.
I love this, because I could see him just outburst, what is going on? Who's stealing my food?
He's practically pulling his whiskers out of his face out of frustration, and because he keeps a good log of all of his inventory, and he just can't figure it out, and then they're able to track food particles or something like that where they're not supposed to be, and then they find her. And then that's when we go into the whole thing of grant me asylum, I did this, blah, blah, blah. Let's do the whole thing where it's like, oh, you know, this region of space, I can help you get through this region of space if you help me. And so that would force the interaction between Chakotay and Kellan, because Chakotay is assigned to help her with all of their technological needs to get through this region of space. And they fall in love. They have a good time. They have that intimate quarters conversation. But the thing is like, this whole thing happens, and we see it evolve. Maybe we see them fight a little bit, but then realize that the reason why they're fighting is because they have such intense feelings for each other. Like, I like your idea of, like, holy crap, like, I'm falling for this person hard. Why am I falling for this person hard? And we're totally integrating that, your conversation between Janeway and Chakotay and my story as well, because that's too good not to have. And it's awesome. The whole, like... like, be careful, Chakotay. We don't know how long she's going to be here. You know, and Chakotay gets angry. He's like, you're just saying this because you're jealous. But not, obviously not like that, but he infers it.
Sure, right. Yeah.
And then we have this impasse. And maybe we have some honesty, or maybe we have some lying where we know that the honesty is underneath.
That would be so nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, she gets tracked down. She gets hit by this whatever memory erasing ray, and so maybe that's how we bring it in. So it's not so much, you know, where everyone's going to forget because of pheromones or because of biology or anything like that. It's because she gets hit with a memory erasing ray, and you know how Chakotay almost beat the crap out of him.
Mm-hmm.
He actually beats the crap out of him in my episode.
All right. Yeah.
He finds him, and we're not talking about like a vicious beating where he thinks he's going to die. No, we're talking about, he gets smacked around, head thrown up against the wall. You know, some good old-fashioned TV violence.
Okay, good. And I like it when Chakotay gets all badass.
Yeah, exactly. It's just because I want one of those Chakotay badass moments.
Okay, fair enough. Do it.
But there's nothing he can do about the memory erasing ray. Maybe we even get a call back to, oh, they tried something like this on the Enterprise D with, you know, and it just didn't quite work.
Uh-huh.
He tries to make her fall in love with him again, but she just can't remember, and so she decides to leave. And so he's like, okay, well, once you leave, I'm gonna track you down, I'm gonna try again. And Chakotay thinks about leaving. He thinks about skirting his responsibilities on Voyager and leaving behind, because that's how much of in love he is with Kellen.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they erase everything. Like, they're past the region of space. They erase everything in the heart, in the computers. And there's just no physical way. There's no possible way to find her. And they explain that, like, Chakotay, even if we left you with a shuttlecraft, you could spend the next 100 years here and never find them.
Right.
And so Chakotay's like, okay, well, fine. I guess I'll stay behind. And the person who convinces them to stay behind and realizes that this is a fool's errand is B'Elanna.
Yay!
Yeah, so we get B'Elanna in there because they have that previous connection, and we know that they're really close. But we see him continue to write with Neelix at the end, so we keep that.
Uh-huh.
But the change at the end, and I know I've been talking for a long time, at the end is Neelix and Chakotay. They kind of have that moment at the end where, like, this is going to be the beginning of a beautiful friendship, where Chakotay says to Neelix, like, you know, I've never heard you talk like this. You know, like, do you have any experience with this? And he's like, well, he said, my life didn't begin on Voyager. My life didn't begin with Kes. And so they have this unspoken common bond, and they say something like, let's meet here again tomorrow night, same time, or something like that.
Oh, that would be cool.
And Chakotay's like, you got it. And, you know, it's just something like that happens. And then that's the end of the episode where, like, he lost a lover but gained a new friend. That kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, that's totally cool. And I love the idea of this kind of being the catalyst for setting up a really cool friendship between Chakotay and Neelix. Because I think this episode proves that could work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, I like your ending, and B'Elanna totally nails kind of that turning point.
Yeah, I really enjoy their interaction between Chakotay and B'Elanna. And for the two people who have some of the deepest history besides Janeway and Tuvok,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they didn't focus on this that much, and they should have. There was a time, like, early on where they're like, oh yeah, we're buddies, we have a history, I helped you get over the pain of losing the Maquis, and then bam, it's just gone. It's just, and they focus with Paris and B'Elanna instead. I don't know. I would have liked to have seen that, you know, come into play a little bit more.
Oh yeah, way more. I think they dropped the ball on both of those things, actually. Where as Janeway starts to rely more on Chakotay, she and Tuvok have far fewer of their moments, and then the same thing happens when B'Elanna gets together with Tom, and they didn't need to drop the interaction with Chakotay, because I love their friendship, and I feel like they're their closest confidants. You know, they have that history. We needed to see so much more of that. It would have been fantastic. Well, rewriting Unforgettable is not the only thing that's been happening on Trek FM this week, and so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
See, they say that Spock's not a funny guy. But
that's
this,
really funny.
This shows, you know, even more than his command ability, it shows that even in the most dire of situations, he still has a sense of humor.
Earl Grey.
Any other points on Transfigurations?
Come on, no. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one.
Episode 26. The Best of Both Worlds. Part 1.
The Orb.
If it was anybody else, I would be questioning the ethics of it much more. But because of the relationship that Sloan and Bashir have, I almost kind of expect that Sloan would look down on Bashir if he wasn't doing something like this.
To the journey!
It's just a good old action story. It's easy to follow. And yeah, okay, granted, yeah, Janeway's got the rifle in her hand and she's going around, but she's shooting bugs.
That could be scary, though. There's a lot of dark lights, a lot of jump scares where you open up a door and then the monster comes at your face.
The Ready Room.
Well, keep in mind, espionage and spy, they have trouble with those two words in Romulan. So maybe that's why it comes across as stilted and contributes to the world's slowest disarmament and fight in the history of anything.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
It doesn't temper anything that the attempt is valiant. No matter how noble the knight is who fights for this king, he's fighting for a corrupt king.
Maybe they're not trying to be valiant. Maybe the next people who come in will try to be defiant.
Yes.
Literary Trex.
And I think Kira makes a great point. We need closure. And this is a great way for us to close the book on everything that happened to us for the last 50, almost 60 years. Mm-hmm.
Continuing mission.
What are we going to do for the man trap? What are we going to do? Because it's all about a salt creature and a lot of it's on the planet. What do we do? And I literally just blurted out to Ashley. I was like, what if it was all about the plant?
Melodic Trex.
No, it's got nothing to do with the actual episode. It's just the music. But I think it's really funny that, yeah, I've changed my opinion of him. So I'll choose music from the episode that most people say is complete rubbish.
Well, the first 2 minutes of that episode are fine. They're the same as any other episode, really, aren't they?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
And we have some exciting news. We have yet another show joining the Trek FM network. And I'm so excited about this, Tristan, because it's Mission Log.
That's right. We are hosting Mission Log's episodes in our master feed. Now, don't worry. If you are a Mission Log listener and you're subscribed to them, and you're also a TTJ listener, nothing will have to change because Mission Log is still going to have their episodes hosted on their feed, but we're just bringing them over to our master feed, and also we're going to host them on our website. So you get to have all of this Trek in one place. Not only did you have all of Trek FM and all of our shows in one place, you now have the massive hit that is Mission Log within it.
Yes, I'm so excited about this because I love John and Ken. I love the work that they do. I feel like they produce a excellent podcast, and so us joining forces is just explosive in the Trek podcast community. I'm incredibly happy about this. We couldn't have any better of a partnership than this. They are the top. That said, none of our shows would be possible without the help of a sponsor, and so let's hear about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
So before we go, we've got a couple of reviews to acknowledge. One is on Stitcher, and Tristan, who do we have to thank for that?
On Stitcher, which is a fantastic platform, and we try to check as often as we can, Ward3 gave us a very nice review. What I love is that this person was not a Voyager fan, or at least not a huge Voyager fan, as they put it. And hopefully we converted them a little because they at least like listening to us. And that's always a huge win for us whenever we can Voyager and say like, oh, you didn't look at it in the right light. Try looking at it this way. And we have converted some people. That's what makes it interesting for us.
That's right. We are out here to convert people into the Voyager Delta Quadrant Army.
Now, we also have one on iTunes.
Yes, we sure do. And I'm thrilled with this one because of all people, guess who it's from?
Who?
It's our former co-host, Lori.
That's right. Lori Sears. She started the podcast with us and she's no longer on the network, but she's definitely a friend of To the Journey.
Absolutely. I still talk to her all the time. She left us a 5-star rating and a review on the US iTunes store. And I love the way that she put it. She says that we are keeping it fresh.
Which, keeping it fresh. That
I
sounds
think
like
that her. Needs to be our new tagline.
Tagline, To the Journey, keeping it fresh.
That's right.
In the hydroponics bay.
You know it. Yeah, nothing but fresh vegetables here. So, many thanks to both of you for your high praise. We're glad you're enjoying the show, and we do our best to try and keep it interesting. So, it's wonderful to hear that feedback, and we will keep on chugging. So, this one's in the can. What are we doing next week?
Next week, we're going to have some fun, and that's quite literally what we're going to do, because we're going to do our top 5 funniest moments on Voyager. But you'll have to wait until next week to listen. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!